This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Lots of stuff to talk about this hour. A bit later, we'll evaluate the science behind sleep tracking apps and gadgets and how the brain can be hacked with flashes of light to combat jet lag. First up, though, has this ever happened to you? You're sitting on a plane, traveling over a large piece of open ocean. You look out the window and you see something weird down there. It's long and narrow. It stretches for miles, like it's an island. And this one is gray-colored, like a cluster of rocks floating in the water. Huh. What would you do if you saw that? Well, most people, I'd say, would go back to reading their Kindle or watching the in-flight movie. But in 2012, someone thought, hey, that's weird. I should tell someone. And that kicked off an expedition to the Southwest Pacific Ocean where researchers would find out it was floating pumice expelled from an underwater volcano, one of tens of thousands of volcanoes under the sea. And here to talk about it with me and tell us all about it is Adam Sewell. He's chief scientist for deep submergence at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts. Adam, welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks, Ira. It's great to be here.
Let's start about just how incredible it is that someone saw this from an airplane and thought to say something to the right people. I would have thought someone already knows about this. Who am I going to tell?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you mentioned there's thousands of volcanoes in the ocean. They're erupting all the time, but we only find out about them through kind of serendipitous events like this. And we're very appreciative of the woman who noticed this and let people know, because it kicked off for us a really exciting expedition.
Do you get a lot of eruptions reported that way? Or is this something unusual?
It's pretty unusual. You know, the over the last 100 years or so, there's been about 3,000 eruptions on land that have been documented. In the oceans, there's only been about 30. So it's really a rare event when we find out an eruption happened and can get out there right away to look at it.
So give us an idea of how you got this big pumice raft started. What did it look like? How big was it?
Oh, the pumice raft was, based on satellite imagery that we looked at after the fact, the pumice raft was about 400 square kilometers. And that, for reference, is about the area of New Orleans or Denver. So this is a massive, body of pumice floating in the ocean.
So the eruption happened in 2012, but you're not able to get out there to study it until 2015. First, why is there such a long delay, and did you miss it?
It takes a while to mount an expedition of this nature. It requires, proposals to funding agencies, and we're very fortunate that the National Science Foundation supported this work, but you also have to get a ship and deep submergence vehicles together and a whole crew of scientists, and even though it took 3 years to get out there, it was still fantastic. To be able to see the deposits from this eruption and to know that they came from this particular event is something we don't often get to do in the deep ocean.
Were you able to actually go down and study the volcano itself?
Yeah, we had on board with us a remotely operated vehicle called Jason and an autonomous robotic vehicle called Sentry. Those are operated here out of Woods Hole. And with them, we were able to make really detailed maps of the seafloor and then go down with a robotic vehicle that was our eyes and hands, for lack of a better word, controlled from the ship, but to see what's down there and pick up the samples.
Does a submarine volcano look like one that you see on land?
Oh, remarkably similar. So when we created these detailed maps of the volcano, I kind of put them next to photos of subaerial volcanoes or volcanoes on land, and literally you cannot tell the difference. They look almost identical, some of the landforms that are produced.
You know, because we see eruptions in Hawaii all the time, but, you never hear about these underwater eruptions until somebody sees something unusual.
Yeah, that's right. Most of the volcanism, about 75% of the Earth's volcanism, happens underwater, but we don't really have a great ability at this time to detect when those eruptions occur, and even less so to see them in action.
Tom, how many do you think? I said tens of thousands. Is that being too big a number?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think that's totally reasonable. I mean, there's a you know, 65,000 mile long chain of volcanoes on the global mid-ocean ridge that you know, we've visited probably 1 to 2% of it.
Why don't we come up with some better way then of monitoring these submarine volcanoes? Is it just a question of money, you know, putting down monitoring devices, satellites? What's the story here on that?
Well, I think it's a question of technology, but I think the technology is caught up, and maybe it's a question of will. You know, we have satellites above the Earth monitoring it, and we use those to understand weather and to you know, do all sorts of amazing monitoring of our planet. And I think we have a growing recognition that that the oceans are equally as important. So I think the technology exists, and it's a matter of finding the will and the resources to monitor the oceans in the same way.
You know, I mentioned a couple of earthly, meaning on the ground, volcanoes by name. You know, all the volcanoes underwater have names too?
You know, a lot of them have names, but you know, as you mentioned, there are thousands of them, and many of them don't have a name, and many of them have not been discovered even.
And this one has a name? That we're talking
this one
about.
Has a name. Yeah, it's Havre Volcano, and it's part of a string of volcanoes that run to the northeast from New Zealand called the Kermadec Arc. There's about 30 or so volcanoes in a line between New Zealand and Fiji, and this is one of those. Some of those reach all the way to the sea surface and make islands, but most of them are down at 500 to 2,000 meters below the sea surface.
And so how tall would this volcano be underwater?
This volcano, its summit is at about 700 meters below the sea surface. Its base is around 1,500 to 2,000 meters. So the volcano itself stands a kilometer high, and it looks just like a volcano that you'd see on land, but it's no one ever gets a chance to see it in the same way.
Yeah, we're looking on our website. There's a photo of the volcano. Now, when this giant raft of pumice is floating, how much of the volcanic junk coming out of it, the magma coming out, it winds up floating, and how much, you know, winds up going down the cone of the volcano?
Yeah, so the one of the fascinating things we learned about this eruption is that about 75 to 80% of the material that came out during the eruption went up into that pumice raft, and it floated away from the volcano. So the stuff that was deposited on the volcano is only a small fraction of the material that came out. So when you look back at the rock record from kind of old eruptions, you're going to have a really skewed view of how large these eruptions can be.
We have a couple of questions that came in as sort of the same question. If you named this volcano, would the woman who saw it, would she be responsible for the name? Like, no discoverers see things. You name it after the discoverer.
Yeah, there's a bunch of strange names for seafloor features. There's actually a process to officially name it through an organization called JEBCO, but a lot of names are just produced on the fly when folks are out at sea and they stick around. So there's volcanoes named after Norse gods and after people's pets and kids. I would hope that in this case, the woman who saw it would get a chance to name it.
We'll vote for her. Now, when the pumice comes up in these giant mat, do you think that a lot of people have seen this before from other volcanic undersea eruptions, but just never knew what it was and never reported them?
Yeah, no, I think that, in that part of the world where these eruptions happen a little more frequently, people find pumice washing up on the beach all the time. So the pumice from this eruption was being found years after the actual event. So there's all sorts of evidence for these eruptions, but it takes kind of a special circumstance to see it, you know, when it's right when it's coming up, as this woman did.
If you go to your beach, I mean, obviously this is floating. Could this float all the way across the Pacific, you know, to Hawaii and maybe this west coast of the U.S.?
Sure. It's possible, you know, depending on the currents. What's interesting is that a lot of the pumice will eventually sink because it gets colonized by kind of organisms, biological organisms. And in some cases, these floating pumice can act as vectors for moving organisms from one part of the ocean to the other.
So sort of a microbiome develops inside the pumice.
Yeah, and not so micro. There's barnacles, there's, starfish. There's all sorts of things that end up clinging to this, tiny floating island that is working its way across the ocean surface.
How did the discoverer actually reach you people? How did she know who to talk to?
Well, that part of the story I'm not too clear on, but she had read a scientific paper about pumice floating in the oceans, and she got in touch with the author of that paper, and he got in touch with the New Zealand Navy that happened to have a ship in the area to kind of confirm the sighting.
Wow, so we don't know who she is. Is this her name on a paper or something?
Her name's not on the paper, but we do know who she is. Her name's Maggie DeGraw. She's a resident of New Zealand and was flying from Apia to New Zealand when she saw this.
Well, she's probably a Science Friday listener, I think, an international listener.
Absolutely. If she's listening to this, I'd love to hear from her.
So how do you top this one? What's your most exciting next thing on your list?
Oh my gosh, the thing about working in the deep ocean and on volcanoes in particular is that we know so little about them that every time we have a chance to go out there, we get to make exciting discoveries. And a place that I'm heading this year is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, where we actually find rocks on the seafloor that are lava that are so bubbly that when you bring them up, they start popping. And that's a really cool thing to see.
I can't top that, Adam. Great way to end that segment. Adam Sewell, Chief Scientist for Deep Submergence at Woods Hole, the famous Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
It was great to be here. Thanks, Ira.
And we do have some cool images of that volcano on our website at sciencefriday.com/volcano.